Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Packaging, the podcast where we unwrap the science, sustainability, and sometimes surprising stories behind the boxes, bags, and containers that shape our world. I'm your host, Alec, and today we have a fantastic guest joining us. He's an environmental advocate with a passion for the planet that's as big as his recycling bin. Please welcome Ralph.
Alec, thanks for having me. I'm ready to get passionate about pulp fiber and post-consumer recycled content. Let's do this!
I love the energy, but today we're tackling something even bigger, food waste. And I'm going to start with a statistic from Feeding America that is genuinely jaw-dropping. In the U.S. alone, 92 billion pounds of food gets thrown away every single year.
Okay, hold on. Let me try to wrap my brain around that. 92 billion pounds. That's the weight of over 150 Empire State Buildings, or 23 million cars. We're throwing away a city of cars worth of food every year? That's not just a problem, that's a planetary catastrophe.
It's staggering. It represents 38% of our entire food supply, and financially it's a loss of $473 billion. Think about what that kind of money could do for infrastructure, education, or healthcare. Instead, it's literally rotting in landfills.
$473 billion! You could fund NASA for 20 years with that. We could be on Mars eating sustainably grown space potatoes. But instead, we're turning Earth into a giant compost heap. This is deeply upsetting.
And it gets worse when you see where it comes from. The food industry itself is responsible for over half of it. The waste happens all along the journey from farm to fork. It starts at the production level.
You mean with farmers? I always pictured them as the heroes of the food story.
They are, but they face immense pressure. Sometimes market prices drop so low it's not worth the cost to harvest, or they can't get enough labor, so perfectly good crops are left in the field.
So the food doesn't even get a chance? It's born and dies in the same field? That's a tragedy worthy of Shakespeare. Alas, poor zucchini. I knew him not.
Haha, I knew you would have fun here. Then comes post-harvest handling. Inadequate storage or bumpy transportation can lead to spoilage and damage before the food even reaches a processing plant.
That's a really good point.
It continues in processing with trim waste and inefficient equipment. Then in distribution and retail, it's all about overstocking, bad forecasting, and damage. Those perfect pyramids of apples at the grocery store? One little tumble and half of them are bruised and destined for the bin.
The pursuit of perfect-looking produce. A perfectly good apple gets thrown out because it has a tiny spot on it. It's character, not a flaw. I'd eat that apple. I'd champion that apple.
I would too, Ralph. And finally, it lands with us, the consumers. Confusion over date labels, improper storage, overbuying. We're the final stage of the problem.
The giant bag of aspirational kale that slowly liquefies in the crisper drawer. It's a monument to our failure.
And this is where packaging enters the chat. Because often, the way things are packaged contributes directly to that waste. Think about oversized packaging.
You mean like family-sized portions? Yeah, I see that.
Then, there's the non-resealable design. Once it's open, the clock starts ticking. Poor material selection can also speed up decay instead of slowing it down.
And limited information. Sometimes I can't tell if Best Buy means best if eaten before this date or becomes a toxic substance after this date. It's so vague.
Exactly. It's a whole system of packaging failures that leads the average American family to waste around a quarter of the food they buy. But here's the plot twist, Ralph. What if I told you the solution involves something most people in your world consider the ultimate environmental villain?
If you say plastic, Alec, I might have to flip this table. We have a complicated history, plastic and I.
Well, get ready for some couples counseling, because plastic is a key player in solving this. High-quality, well-designed plastic packaging is a hero in the fight against food waste.
A hero? Plastic? The stuff I see tangled up with sea turtles in documentaries? You're telling me it wears a cape? I am deeply, profoundly skeptical.
It's all about functionality. Plastic has incredible barrier properties. It keeps out oxygen, moisture, light, and bacteria far better than most alternatives. That thin plastic film on a package of ground beef is the only thing standing between freshness and a science experiment.
Okay, I concede that I prefer my ground beef not to be an experiment, but what about the alternatives? Paper? Glass?
This is the critical part. Those alternatives often have a much higher environmental cost. A 2016 study by TrueCost showed that substitutes like glass and aluminum can create up to 4 times the CO2 emissions.
4 times? That's a lot of times.
It gets crazier. The article I was reading points out that these alternative materials require twice as much energy to produce, 6 times as much water, and generate 5 times as much solid waste as plastics.
6 times the water? My goodness. Okay, you're dismantling my entire belief system right now. So the flimsy plastic bag is actually better for the planet than the heavy, premium glass jar?
In many specific use cases for preventing food spoilage, absolutely. It's also lightweight, which means less fuel is used for transportation. And it's transparent. You get to see what you're buying. It's about using the right tool for the specific job of preserving food.
My mind is blown. So if I'm a food business owner listening to this, and my profits are shrinking from waste, what's my action plan?
First, you become a waste detective. Conduct a waste audit to see where the food is going. You can't fix what you don't measure.
I love it. Get a magnifying glass, a notepad. Case of the missing mushrooms. It's a whole new genre of true crime.
Second, invest in that quality packaging we've been talking about. Think of it this way. A slightly more expensive container that adds 2 days of shelf life will pay for itself 100 times over by preventing product from being thrown away.
It's moving from a cost mindset to an investment mindset. I get it. What else is in the playbook?
Optimize your inventory. Use forecasting tools. And the first in, first out rule. Educate your staff on proper handling. And a big one, donate your surplus. Partner with a local food bank.
Yes, food should feed people, not landfills. It's that simple. And businesses are protected by the Good Samaritan Food Donation Act, so there's no excuse.
When you put it all together, the benefits are huge. Obviously, you save money. The average return is $14 for every $1 invested in waste reduction.
A 14-to-1 return? If you offered that in the stock market, you'd be the richest person in the world. That is an incredible incentive.
It is. And beyond that, you shrink your carbon footprint, you show social responsibility, and you build a brand that customers feel good about supporting. It's a win for profits, a win for people, and a win for the planet.
Okay, I'm sold on the preventing waste part. It's a powerful argument. But my environmental conscience is still screaming at me about what happens after the food is eaten. We're still left with this plastic container. Doesn't it just end up in the ocean, waiting to choke a dolphin?
That's a valid and crucial concern, and it brings us to the second half of the equation, the end-of-life problem. This is where the narrative around plastic gets complicated. The issue isn't the material itself, but our system for managing it. When plastic ends up in the ocean, it's a failure of waste collection and recycling infrastructure, not an inherent flaw of the polymer.
So you're saying we should focus on building better recycling systems instead of banning plastic outright? That's a huge mental shift. For years, the message has been plastic is the enemy. Now you're telling me the enemy is actually our own laziness and lack of investment in infrastructure? Wow. Alec, I came in here today expecting to wage a war against plastic, and instead I'm leaving with a new perspective. It's not about one material being good or bad. It's about making smart, science-backed choices to solve the bigger problem. My brain feels bigger. Thank you.
That's the goal. The power to change this really is in our hands, from the business practices we use to the choices we make every day. Ralph, thank you so much for joining me and bringing your incredible passion to the show.
Anytime, Alec. I'm off to write a heartfelt letter of apology to my salad container.
I'm sure it will appreciate that. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Packaging. Join us next time as we continue to unwrap the fascinating world around us.